You can say we're not biblical. We have a little Exodus happening. Sad. I'm doing something a little different. Is that okay? Slow to a fast. How many have ever fasted before? Okay. Is it your favorite thing? It's called a sacrifice. It's not a favorite thing. And yet, it's some of the more meaningful times of your spiritual life, even if you don't realize it. Slow to a fast is the title. Do you know sometimes the Lord has to slow us down to get our attention? How many know that? We're in a very, very busy world. And God sometimes has to say, I'd like to speak with you. And he has to get our attention. When my twin sister and I were born, well, not right when we were born, but not too far after that, apparently, my oldest sister and my cousin decided to take us to school as show and tell. I don't know if that's where my cousin dropped me or not, but that's what I heard. Which I know you're saying explains so much. But so we were on display very early in our life. And I read this week something that was very troubling to me. Maybe some of you saw this. A five-year-old, at least a kindergartner, somewhere in Missouri, Sweet Springs, I think is the name of the town, went to show and tell and brought something that was in their home. And this little five-year-old child brought meth and a crack pipe to show and tell. Fortunately, they were able to grab that before it even got into the class. So ultimately, the child had nothing to bring because they retrieved it. In a society where that kind, and I'm not blaming the child is exposed to it and it's not being protected by the parents or whoever has it. They shouldn't have it. When sin gets into the crib and into the youngest parts of society, that nation ought to be on their knees. Ought to be on the knees. Of course, our world has already saw fit to wipe out a good part of a generation in the first place through abortion. We need to be on our knees in prayer. And that's a metaphor. If you can't kneel, God looks at your heart. Okay. In Isaiah, the 58th chapter, the whole portion is about fasting. The true fast that God looks for. I grew up in a church, I don't think they even mentioned it. I don't remember ever hearing about it. Fast to me was a tempo for music and for life. It had nothing to do with seeking God at all, not a bit. So I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of the word. Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the house of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? And why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loosen the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke and set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer, and you will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always, and he will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of the broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you'll find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. Please be seated. The need for fasting. The prophet here is exclaiming it, really. This is not just a, oh, yoo-hoo, I think we need to do this. This is an absolute cry from God through the prophet. And the word here, it says to cry aloud. It means in the Hebrew to call out from the throat. I mean, it means to project. Get that message out there. They didn't have microphones then, but they knew how to project. And they're saying, cry aloud to this nation, to these people. Raise the trumpet. The trumpet is the instrument of telling a new day, a new year, a new moon, of new things. The Lord is saying, I want to talk to you. It's a new day. You remember the ram that was caught in the thicket when Abraham was to give his son? This fast, this call, is a call of sacrifice. It's saying, you think you were stuck in the thicket. Guess what? The Son of God was on the thicket. He's the one that was there, because it was coming down on each one of us, and the Lord intervened. So he says here to raise that standard up. Get that message out here, because he says, talk to my people. Day after day, they seek me out, and they seem eager to know my ways. I believe that people do want to know who God is, because the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, he has put eternity in our hearts. People are drawn toward God even though they don't understand it. And even if it is who they will rebuke at one point, they do have a hunger. We all do. We will be drawn back to the light. It will be our resistance and our sin that keeps us from it, but we will be drawn to it. And the scripture says here, they seek me daily. Do you know of the religious, quote-unquote, world around us that pray three times a day, that have their face toward a certain part, and this is not just the Muslims, this is any kind of belief system, where people have their daily prayers? There's nothing wrong with praying daily. We should pray. We should be in a continual atmosphere of relationship with the Heavenly Father, right? But there are people that do it simply out of religious duty. You know, they get up, they pray, they do their thing, they go on, they come back, they pray, they read, whatever. It's outward. You know how you can tell when it's outward? It doesn't change your behavior. It doesn't change your life. It's something you do. It's not something that's done through you. How do we know that? Because it goes along to say here, Day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right. They have not forsaken my commands. As a nation, they ask me for just decisions. Don't we want just decisions? We certainly do. But why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? You know how we can tell that this is all outward form? Because they're blaming God because they didn't get the answers they wanted. Have you ever done that? You know, you pray and you do, and you very sincerely desire God's will. And then it isn't what you like. I remember years ago asking the Lord something, and I said, Lord, I really want your will. And what he did, I didn't care for. And I told him. And he said, didn't you tell me to do my will? And I had to eat it and say, yep. Okay, Lord, please do your will. Ultimately, it's the best. At the time, I didn't care for it, though. Their effort is to daily seek you. You know, and I'm doing my correspondence courses for the Wesleyan Church, as you know, and reading about different things, and one of which is the Moravians, who, do you know that they had daily prayer? They had 12 women, 12 men, all sectioned out, pray one day, 1 hour a day, and this went on for 100 years. Not the same people, of course, but it rotated. Of course, maybe the Lord extended their life. And you know that sitting here in this place, we are recipients of those prayers? Because John Wesley and his brother came to Christ through the life and the testimony of some Moravians. Why? Because they just didn't have the outward duty. They had an inward change. And it affected their lives significantly. A lot of things happened because of them. But we can tell when something is just duty because we get mad at God when it doesn't go our way. And you know as well as I do that the Lord in his graciousness is not going to give us everything we want, every way we want. If he did, we'd just be spoiled kids. God doesn't treat that way. But the behavior here is going to reveal something. It's going to reveal that they are self-oriented. How do we know? Because the scripture goes on to say, on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and you exploit all your workers. Now, I don't know if that was because their sugar level was low, and so they were more aggravated. But you can't mistreat people and call yourself a follower of Christ. There has to be a change of behavior. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. Now that's a board meeting. You know, they said, well, yeah, at the end of the church service, the old story said, after the service, we're going to have a board meeting. And so will all the board members come up? So the whole church came up because they were all bored. But anyway, I knew I'd just wait a minute and I knew you'd catch it. True fasting, spending time before God, is supposed to get us out of the way. That's what it's supposed to do. These people, under their religiosity and under their duty, saying, God, we did this for you. Why haven't you done anything? It's on the wrong foot. It really is. So it goes along and he says, is this the kind of fast I have chosen, only for a man to be humbled, to bow one's head like a reed, and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? There's a portion back in the second verse where it says, when they ask me for just decisions, and they want to meet God. The name for God here is Elohim, the God of creation. Now, who doesn't want the God of creation to work in their life, right? He created out of nothing. He created this beautiful world which we live in. Don't you want him to be working in your life? Create beauty, create wonder. Miracle, that's what the miracles of the New Testament are. They're the God of creation working in the New Testament. Using very often the same things he used in creation. The water, the earth, the things that he created in the first place. The Lord doesn't need fancy stuff. His finger. Now there's a healer. There's a work, isn't it? So he says here, a definition of the true fast as it goes on. But before we get to that, what is Elohim's fast? Is it a fast of humility? Yes, of course. We should be humble before the Lord. But what this is talking about are people that dress in the sackcloth and ashes and get really spiritual. And they look like somebody just shot them. I knew a lady in Bible school, and she was a nice person. I prayed for her, but she told me, she goes, well, I'm a believer. I just believe I have to walk around somber all the time. And I said, well, you ain't going to reach nobody for Christ looking like that. You know, you spend time in prayer and devotion. Yes, we need to be solemn. We need to cry before the Lord. It will show on our countenance. But I guarantee you, if you look like the world came to an end on your face, that's what people are going to think Jesus is. And she was honestly, she wouldn't have implored me to go to the store. To me, she was so depressed. And it wasn't a depression part. It wasn't that. It was the idea that she felt she had to be solemn and just so lifeless. She had no life at all. Didn't have any interest to me. But anyway, here it means to bow your head down. This is interesting where it talks about the reed, because the reed is a bulrush, and these are large reeds that grow in marshy waters. And when there's a lot of rain, they grow up really beautifully. But because they have no particular type of joints, the more they grow, the heavier, the top heavier they get, and their head and their top falls down. They can't hang up. They can't hold up. Sometimes in prayer, in religious prayer, I'm calling it, as opposed to a true spiritual seeking God, we get so full of ourselves, we can't keep our head up. We're so full of who we are and what we can do. And the Lord is displeased with that, because everything we have, we came from him. There isn't a thing that we have, whether it's gifts or ability or home or breath or whatever it is, that didn't come from God in the first place, right? We are stewards of the grace of God. It didn't originate with any of us. So here you have people laying in sackcloth and ashes, looking very somber. And of course, when a mournful thing occurs in your life, you should be mournful. You should certainly, I don't mean you should walk around and be like a hyena when somebody's in difficulty. We need to know that there's some problem and respond to it. But in prayer before the Lord, these people are simply acting a religious moment as opposed to a true touch of God. The Bible says in that great scripture, what God's response to what? A broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. God always breaks what he's going to use. And so the scripture says here, is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loosen the chains of bondage. In other words, instead of you as an individual, the minute you're in prayer, and I realize some people do get more aggravated, certainly the devil doesn't like it, but they can easily go after people and mistreat, tie up people. This is talking not just about our things getting released. It's talking about us being released and releasing others. Do you hold unforgiveness for anybody in your life? Is there anything in your life that is tying you up like this? How in the world is God going to help us to be a usable person when we've got this? Nothing can flow through it. It's got to be unhooked. It's got to be undone. And so, it says it has to loosen the bonds of wickedness. And this means to loosen and to open up. The Lord is the one who opens, isn't he? And these bonds are tension, cords, and restrictions. We place a lot of restrictions on ourselves and on other people in our life. We expect our families, for instance, to be perfect. I was talking to somebody years ago who, whose parent actually had a great, difficult life. And because it was her father, she said, well, I expect him to be different. I said, listen, if you walked into a support group and you saw that man and he was not your father, you'd have the most empathy for him than you would of anyone else in the world. But because you're related to him, you think he owed you some. Yes, he should have been a better father, I agree. But no one taught him how to be one. So you, as the believer, have to have the mercy. God has to touch you. It's not easy, is it? He says, the fast of Jehovah will be the fast where bondages get broken. And they're going to come through the one who's praying, the one who's fasting, the one who's seeking God. That's how they're going to come. And he says also, it's kind of Hebrew parallelism here, to undo the bands of the yoke. The yoke is a crosswood that's formed and fastened to the head of an animal, and therefore it is connected to the plow by a strap or a cord of some sort. What you're connected to will control you. If you have unforgiveness, you're controlled by that. If you have anger, you're controlled by that. You're a servant to it. That's why the Bible talks about be not unequally yoked in marriage and in life, because what you yoke yourself to, you are going to be affected by. And you're going to be a servant to it if it's not in God's hand and in his control. And I thought about the word band here. Doesn't mean a musical band, but I was thinking about it. You know, if you are tied up to something, whether intentional or not, it is a band that's playing in your head. The drum will beat a heartbeat that tells you you're worthless. And you know you felt it on occasion through your life. You can feel that. It just continues to tell you you're worthless. Who but the devil will tell you that? God is not telling you that, but that's what bondage can do to you. The wind instruments blow your hope away. Blow them right away. The strings, they're all broken. They're all broken. And they're out of tune. And unfortunately, the song is gone. That's what happens when there's wickedness and when there's a tightening of that yoke. The Bible says, this will be the fast, to untie the cords of the yoke and to set the oppressed free. Who's going to untie you? Jesus. That's who's going to untie you. Is it not to share your food? It goes on to the fact that it should be a change in our life and it should affect us. So it goes on, Elohim's fast is that which unlocks the burdens, the bondages, and sets us free to help, okay? The results of Elohim's fast, we begin to look like him. What did the Creator do? He provided for food. He provided for nourishment. He provided for help. He created people to have community. He did all those things. We begin to look like the sovereign. We begin to act like our Heavenly Father. And you divide the bread to the hungry. Remember in the book of Genesis, the Bible said he divided the waters from the waters. The great power of God is such that when the Lord is moving, and you saw this in the miracles in the New Testament, you'll see it wherever God is working. When God is working, he multiplies. You see it at the potluck dinners where food just happens to expand. And I know it's not because people aren't eating, because I see very full plates. So I know the Lord very often multiplies it. Have you ever seen in your life where God multiplied and took care of a need and you know it wasn't you? You know that there it is. God's done this. God is still a miracle-working God. I hope you know that. He's still working. I love it. Divide the bread to the hungry. Out of this comes a natural wanting to help others. And this church is a wonderful church of service and body ministry. It's one of the things I appreciate most about the church. But there's a lot more needs out there. And God wants to use us. The Bible also says here, the results of Elohim's fast are the light comes back. What's the first thing that happened on the first day of creation? Let there be light. Light came. His creative work. It says here, new light will burst forth like the dawn of a new day. You ever wanted a new day? You want a new existence of God and of his power? This is what will come. Darkness is pierced, and God's new light comes forth. The Bible says, and your recovery will speed up. I see Wendy back here. I just love to see Wendy. And I'm praying, and I know you all are continuing, that full healing and restoration will come quickly, very quickly. That's the burden of our heart. The Bible said it springs forth. You know what that means? It's under the ground for a long time, but when it comes, it's going to come fast, and it's going to spring up. And it's going to amaze you. Out of what looks like nothing, something's going to come forth. How many need God's touch? How many need healing? How many need emotional healing? You don't have to raise your hand. How many need something from God? It's going to come fast. Because when that dawn breaks and the darkness is pierced, his lies are going to be revealed. And it's a new day to walk in the fullness of the Lord. And then the Bible says here, your righteousness is a calling card. It's going to go ahead of you. Righteousness means right standing with God. It's nothing we've done. He'll give us the ability to walk before him. And the Bible says here, he'll be our rear guard. How many are glad the Lord goes behind you and clean up after you? In a real sense. He also protects us. Because guess who's behind that? It's kind of like when they went through the Red Sea. The Lord was behind them. Who's behind them? Pharaoh. Aren't you glad God's there? Now, the devil may be squawking, but he's not going to get past God. He's not. Keep going forward. Keep going forward. The Bible also says here, he will guide you continually. Now, I know sometimes in prayer, people think, well, I just pray once in a while. We need to be in a constant state of prayer, of relationship with the Heavenly Father. Do you know you can be at work and say, Lord, pray that I don't shoot this person. You know, God knows you're not going to shoot him, but you want to, but you ask the Lord to help you. How many know he came with you that day, huh? Be in prayer. And he will satisfy your soul in drought. In a very dry place. You know why? Because he's the spring of life. Doesn't matter if you're in a drought. It doesn't matter if everything's going wrong. God, with God, everything's right. And he will build up the old waste places. This portion of scripture is referring to the time after the Babylonian captivity, where things are in ruins, and God will restore. I believe he'll restore families. He will restore mental health. He will restore all kinds of things. But it cannot be done in our wisdom. It cannot be done in our strength. Absolutely not. He wants to repair the breaches that are out there. And only Jesus can do it. I opened up with a show and tell story. The Lord wants us to show and tell. But you got to have something to tell, right? That God has touched me, that He has revolutionized my life, that He is real and He's alive. And I'm different because I met Him. And without Him, I would be lost, and I know it. What does fasting do? It slows us down to let God work through the religiosity, get through to the burdens and to the oppression that is upon people, help us to release other people. God's not going to release us from our oppressions or our bondages if we hold on to the oppressions of other people. If we don't forgive and release other people, God won't release us, period. And that's trust, folks. Say, Lord, I'm leaving in your hands. I'm releasing them. Absolutely. You know, you've been dragging them around long enough. Time to let it go. And then the new day begins, and the healing comes forth quickly, and the power of God falls. That's the fast that God wants for us. That's the fast of Elohim, His creative work. And that's the work I want. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads before we sing. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, Lord, and Lord, some of us are probably more structured in our life. Some of us are not. But Lord, we don't want to have an empty shell of religion, of going through the motions. Lord, we want a living faith, that which is alive to you, that which you can work through, that has no knots and no things that get in the way. And Lord, as we prepare to fast, whether we're fasting food or whatever, and as we pray and get ourselves out of the way, Lord, I do pray to hear from heaven. Not necessarily even the things we pray for or we want, but that there'd be an open exchange where you can tell us what you want. Lord, how you delight to heal your people. How you delight to bring your creativity into the souls of those who think everyone's forgotten them. Lord, how you alone can repair the breach in families. How you alone can restore the broken, ruined places of the mind. Only you can do that. Because the Bible says you create out of nothing, which means we add nothing to it. You're everything. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue that work in every life that's here, Lord Jesus, and through this church. That God, we can say without a doubt that the hand of the Lord has done this. And it will be a new day and dawning a new hope, Lord Jesus, for all that put their trust in you. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed for a moment, if you're here and you'd say, I know that there's a breach. I know that there's things that I really want to get free from. But I also know that maybe I'm holding something against other people. Maybe I'm holding it against God. Only the Holy Spirit can tell us the truth that will set us free. But if you're here today and you'd say, I want to get any blockage out of my way so that God's power and God's truth can come through me, not only to touch me, to bless others, and to glorify our Father who's in heaven. And you'd say, with an upraised hand, no one's looking, pray for me. You raise your hand so I can pray for you. Okay. Our Heavenly Father, you know every hand and you know every heart. And just be free, Lord, to do it your way. That's all. As we see the glory of God, who works miraculously, sovereignly, and very tenderly, may we yield to the work you alone can do. Father, I thank you so much for it. We're in a nation, Lord, that has dipped into the crib and is destroying the lives of children all the way up and discarding the elderly and doing all kinds of things. God, may we be a voice in that wilderness to seek and to repent and to go forward in Jesus Christ. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And I ask you, Lord, to touch to the uttermost, Lord God, our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing these songs, if you want to come up to the altar, it is open for you. Or you just want to seek the Lord where you are. Wonderful Peace.
Oh,
going to sing that chorus through one more time. If you have a bondage of whatever nature it is, God is more than adequate to meet it. He's not going to take it down unless we want it, however. His way, his time, all of those things. And if you're here, stand where you are or raise your hand if you can't stand and declare to God, I do not want this in my life anymore. I want to be freed. And you stand before the Lord as we sing this chorus.
I pour water on him that is thirsty.
Close, and as we pray, if you feel so led, more than one can, but if you feel so led, cry out in prayer to your Heavenly Father, to Elohim, the creator of the universe, and let's entrust our lives and this church in his hands. Feel free to pray out.
Thank you.
Lord, we pray that new day would be upon us. Lord Jesus, that all the things that have happened round about to try to choke out the life of God, to try to choke out the hope in God, that try, Lord God, to point the finger at you. Father, we pray instead our hands would be raised before you, our lives would be open, Lord, and you would unlock the chains and unlock the yoke. And anything, Lord, that we are serving, if it's not you, untie it, undo it, Lord, that we may be free in serving and worshiping our Master, who gave up everything for us. Lord Jesus, I pray that you do a very deep work in our hearts. Lord Jesus, the only way that you can do is to do a perfect work. And I thank you, Lord, for that. Continue, Lord, to hover over us, Lord, and minister. Lord Jesus, Father, let your hand of mercy be upon this evening, Lord, with great joy and rejoicing over the God that takes us home, Lord God, and reveals his home in us. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Lord, bless, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want additional prayer, please feel free to come up.